to Transcendental Transformation, the place where spirituality and transformation unite. Host Miss Raina imparts truth so that you can break through your limiting beliefs and evolve into a deeper consciousness. As you go about your day, remember, before every breakthrough, there is a breakdown. And now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's episode of Transcendental Transformation. I'm your host, Miss Raina, and today is Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. As always, we are coming live from the beautiful city of West Palm Beach, Florida. It's March. I am so excited. It is back to 80-degree weather all week long. I'm looking at the forecast, and I'm just so excited. I don't know about you, but if you're in the South Florida area, I came down here for the heat. So all this stuff of being in the highs of 60s and 50s and everything, it's just too much for me. I want my heat back. So the 80s is nice. It was such a beautiful day. I got to exercise and do more stuff. But you know, we're going to get into that in a little bit. But you know what I realized a few days ago? I realized that we are within our seven episodes from our 100th. Episode milestone. Can you believe it that we are going to be in 7 episodes reaching our 100th show? I can't believe that. When I started this show, actually when me and Melissa started the show 3 years ago, I wasn't sure how the show was going to go and where it was going to go and how much it was going to grow. But I'm so glad that it's evolving. I'm so glad that we're growing and moving forward. Speaking of growing, I want to welcome 3 new states who've been listening on a weekly basis for a couple months now. I want to welcome the state of Delaware, Washington, and Iowa to the show. Thank you so much for allowing this show to grow. So we're looking forward to having you aboard. Well, this month is going to be packed. We are so busy. I'm telling you, the life of Raina and my schedule is just so busy. Spring is in the air. We're bringing new challenges, new beginnings, new transformation, all sorts of good stuff, right? But I want to do a little bit of business first. So if you're in the South Florida area, part of the new stuff that we're going to create is we're putting together a little class. It's going to be called The Conscious Reality of Perception and Self. So if you're ready to take yourself to the next level, then this class is for you. Because what we're going to learn, I'm going to teach you the true secrets of owning your life and unlocking universal consciousness to allow great growth. I guarantee you, if you're judging the class on title and you say, well, Ms. Raina, I've had similar classes like that, I guarantee you've not had this, because I'm going to bring new concepts and things that you've never heard for. It's going to be March 26th on Saturday from 1 to 4, and it's going to be $20 a ticket, $20 for a life-changing experience. You can't beat that, people, so make sure you come. But this weekend for me, on a personal note, has been quiet. This weekend was quiet. I spent the weekend meditating, working a little bit, but a lot of exercise, and I've been back on the bike. Of course, the weather's getting a little bit nicer. It's not so rainy right now, but I've been really trying to hone in on my physical aspect. But you know, I got picked up by another softball team. I don't know how it happened. I'm so busy with my schedule right now. I don't know. Someone asked me to fill in for a Thursday night team, and the next thing I know, I went to hand in my jersey. They said, absolutely no, you are part of this team now. And I said, oh, okay, I guess I am. So now I have 3 and soon to be 4 different leagues going at the same time, because our fast pitch season is starting up. But I like this group. I really do. This Thursday group is a really good bunch of good people, and I'm looking forward to it. But I also did take the time to write 2 new blogs. So if you haven't read these blogs, make sure you go to my social media. But the first blog is The True Art of Helping Others. I basically wrote about some good lessons in life about helping others and about coming from a place of selflessness. Did you know that most of us, not all of us, but most of us, when we go out to help people, it really comes from a place of selfishness? I know we're all good people and we all want to make the world feel good place. But, you know, a lot of times our needs are coming from a selfish reason. So make sure you go to read that blog. The second blog is to resolve confliction with another. We have conflict all the time. So this explains why conflict happens and how to look at through an objective view. Objectivity is the key here, people. They're very good blogs. People have loved them. They've written me a lot of personal notes on them so much. And so I got to say, you can make sure you check them out. Last week, we had The Power of Peace of Mind with Dr. Bruce Hoffman. Oh, my God, we had such a fabulous time, and we got so many great reviews. I know that you guys liked it because I'm still going through all the emails, and so is Lenora. Lenora can't keep up with it either. But you know, Dr. Bruce was such a wonderful guest. We had such a great time. The hour went by so fast, and I'm so glad that he shared with us his technique of NET, which was neuro-emotional technique, which taught us about learning about the basic emotions such as anger, fear, and grief, and how they destroy us and create emotional baggage that creates chaos in our life. NET is a simple procedure that stops the emotional component. Sounds really good, right? If you missed last week's show, it's an excellent show. I'm telling you guys, it's well worth the hour. Make sure you go check it out. It's in the archives. Well, if you can't tell by my voice, I am super excited about tonight's show because tonight I have been waiting for this for well over 2 weeks because tonight is the sexual revolution of polyamory. But wait, Miss Raina, but polyamory isn't really about sex, is it? No, it's not. It's about relationships. It's about learning to love others on a deeper level and being open to others and our own needs. And to share energy and lives with multiple people, and to allow others and ourselves to blossom in ways we never thought possible. There's so many good ideas to polyamory, which is why I fell in love with it. But let's get into our first two guests. Our first guest was on a lifelong search to live free as she felt trapped by her work, relationship, and even her own fears. But a trip to India changed her life for the better. She currently has a partner, which they support each other in living life to the fullest. That sounds really good. I'm so happy for them. And as a co-organizer for the South Florida Poly Meetup at meetup.com. So please help me welcome our first guest, Suganda, to the show. Suganda, welcome.
Thank you. So nice to be back.
Oh, welcome back. I'm so glad to have you back. Our next guest is a 70-year-old widowed male. He's not currently active with a poly relationship, but is very active in the South Florida poly community. And he is also a co-organizer of the South Florida Poly Meetup as well. So please help me welcome Lenny to the show. Lenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Raina. It's nice of you to have me on.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad you guys are back. When we had this show the first time, I don't know how many months ago that was, but when we had this show the first time, I enjoyed our conversation so much, and I wanted to bring our listeners to a deeper level of understanding relationships because relationships are important to us. So Suganda, Suganda, let me direct this question. I'm gonna start with you because as we started last time, I'm a big fan of beautiful ladies going first. So let's open the floor to you.
Okay.
Jealousy is like this ugly two-headed monster that just seems to like overcome relationships so much and destroy it, whether you're poly or monogamous. And the poly aspect, how do we overcome jealousy?
Okay, well, this is a good question for me because you know how there are people that say, I don't feel jealousy, I've never been jealous. I'm not one of those people. And it was definitely something that came up for me very strong in my relationships because, you know, in, I'd say, the last 20 years, I relate in an open way so that my partners have freedom and I have the freedom to relate to other people however we want to. And it brings up everything, you know. And when we say jealousy, what I realize is we have to analyze what do we mean by that. And it's different for different people. It could be fear. It could be anger. You know, what is it really? Because jealousy is kind of this indefinable thing, you know. It's like, what is that? Like you say, it's kind of like a monster. So we have to really analyze for ourselves what is coming up. And for me, it was fear that my partner would leave me. And why would he leave me? Because I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as whoever else he is with. And I realized that it was really about me. So trying to get him to behave in another way was not the answer. I had to behave in another way. And so it was, yeah, I just, you know, used situations when I knew he was out on a date, when I knew he wasn't coming home that night. I used those situations to really allow the feelings that I had and even exaggerate them. You know, if I was feeling angry, how could he do this to me? You know, how could he go away when I'm not feeling good? Or, you know, these kind of things. And
well, Sugandha, let me interrupt you really quick, because
sure.
I just love the fact that you said, I allow these feelings to be confronted. I allow myself to go towards these feelings, because this is what we talk about on the show all the time, because we're so afraid, you know, the jealousy. We all want to pretend that none of us have fear, that we're not angry, we're not jealous, we don't have these things, that we want to pretend that we're good enough. But when these situations happen, because most of the time when we chase a relationship, we're chasing a relationship because we need something else to feel complete. And so when we become in a relationship and we have that need that, oh, now I'm completed, now my life can be happy because somebody else is in it, which gives my life validation. This type of idea is just such a foreign concept, because why should I allow myself to be jealous?
We also have to remember in the outside world that jealousy in a relationship is actually seen as a positive, that if you're not jealous about your partner, you know, in the monogamous world, if you're not jealous about your partner, you really don't care that much. And I know that monogamous friends will look at our relationship and sometimes think that, you know, like, you just can't care that much about the other person if you're allowing that person to be with other people in intimate situations.
Absolutely. And you know, so let's shift gears. And I'm going to direct this at Lenny, because you just said, you know, our monogamous friends can understand, and we're always looking, you know, a lot of times the poly community is judged, because being poly in a mono world is difficult. So Lenny, how do we handle, like, we're polyamory, so how do we handle living our lives with our monogamous friends judging us?
Wow. That's the $64,000 question. How do we handle it? Is with great difficulty and great care. Jealousy is not, for me, it's not something that can be turned on and off or is good or evil. I think it's almost part of us, part of our DNA almost. We see it in animals. We see it in lower other forms of animals. For me, the trick is to not let it get the best of me, not to make the comparison with anger, but to make it, you've got to control your anger, as we all strive to do. Well, you have to control the negative aspects of jealousy. Jealousy to me is about my insecurity, and that's what I can be in charge of. You can't control the other person's sense of insecurity, only your own. And when you focus on that, when you focus on your own behavior, and how you yourself deal with things, to me that's the answer. That's what it is, whether it be with the coworkers or neighbors or extended family. You can't try to defend being poly from a defensive position. You have to treat it, for me, you have to think of it as a positive thing, as a wonderful thing. And again, with the jealousy, is to not let it get the best of you.
Well, our insecurities are, you know, are conditioned into us because our whole lives we're being told we're not good enough. If you don't get the certain type of grades, if you don't do this, if you don't have a successful job, all these things, we are constantly conditioned, especially in our society, to have nothing but insecurities. But don't most people go into a relationship with the idea of ownership? Like, once I'm with you, you're mine. You're my property, and nobody else can look at you, touch you, or anything with you, because now you're a part of me.
Well, I think that's to a great extent very true, sure. I've heard the term, you know, he's mine, she's mine, of course. But we can still say that and not have that very negative, possessive aspect to it. She's mine to enjoy. She's mine to have fun with. She's mine to make a better life for both of us, a happier life for both of us, not to take ownership of, but to complement one another.
Absolutely. Mine. The ego runs rampant, doesn't it? And this is what destroys relationships. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening that aren't poly that are just interested in the topic, as well as a lot of people in the poly community. And people, relationships are relationships. It doesn't matter if you have one person, two people, five, six, 16. It doesn't matter, because each relationship is to the individual. And as Lenny and Saganda said, it doesn't take away from you, it doesn't take away from any other person to experience love from another. But we're going to take a short break from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
From combat to Cosmo to corporate to coach, Shelly Mitchell works with smart, creative, and driven, highly spirited entrepreneurs, helping them find their focus, get clear on their message, create a plan that works for them and their unique brain style to develop the systems so that they can be the CEO of their business and make more money. The time is now to turn your passion and your purpose into a profitable, successful business. Visit Shelly Mitchell's website, mypersonalbusinesscoach.com, or email Shelly, that's Shelly with an EY, at mypersonalbusinesscoach.com. When visiting the website, be sure to request your weekly success planner and or schedule a catapult your cash flow call with Shelly herself, both complimentary.
Remember, everybody, that insecurities and ownership only comes from a place of feeling not worth it. And we have to be able to find self-love. We have to be able to find security within ourselves. And a relationship can't give us this. Part of what we've been even talking, if you've been following the shows, we've been talking about how nobody else can fill that void except for you. Even though these relationships appear to help us feel and grow, and that really the growth and the feeling of love has to come from self. So Suganda, let me talk to you about this, or ask you this question, because, you know, whether you're monogamous, especially, or even in poly, a lot of people who are transferring from monogamy to poly, you know, they have these predefined ideas of what they want in a relationship. Can't that be destructive in a poly relationship?
Absolutely. In any relationship, when we have an idea of how things are supposed to be, you know, that, I mean, it's destructive to ourselves to have that idea. We're all evolving. Relationships are evolving, you know. And a preconceived idea of this is what my partner should be like, this is what he should be doing. And that's where the control starts coming in. And anybody is going to resent somebody that's controlling their life. I mean, the truth is that we are free. And when we allow our partners to limit, to control what we're doing, we're not living the best life, the fullest life, and we will feel unfulfilled with that. And when I realized that I wanted that for myself, I realized I also have to want that for my partner, and to be willing to feel whatever that brings up in me.
And, you know, I love that you said that because that's what we're always trying to do, right? Control. We're trying to control our lives. We're trying to control our emotions. We're trying to control every outcome. And when it comes to our relationship, we're trying to control that person and to mold it and to shape it into exactly what we want, instead of allowing the freedom of the person to express themselves. People, if you want the healthier relationship or the healthiest one that you're going to find, first, of course, it starts with you, but allow the person to be themselves. You can't make somebody be what you want them to be and expect them to be happy and expect you to be happy too. And Sugandha, I love the fact that you said that, you know, we're always evolving, because that's what polyamory is really about, is evolving and evolving with our partners.
Exactly. Yes.
So Lenny, I got to ask you something, because I know a lot of times I get asked this, and I'm not sure if you get asked this as well, but, you know, a lot of people are like always keeping score. Well, I've heard this concern, and on Reddit sometimes I answer a lot of these questions, and some of the popular questions is people are always keeping score of, well, she's dating this many or he's dating this many people. I mean, if we're really about freedom, why are so many of us trying to keep score on what our partners are doing?
I don't really get that very much. I think maybe that is more part of the, I don't want to date myself here, but that's part of the younger dating world. My personal opinion is that when, you know, in my age bracket, I don't see it quite so much as maybe at a younger demographic, but that's strictly my observation. One thing I'm so happy about tonight's conversation is that the word sex really did not really come up, and I'm so glad, because so many people want to focus on, as you said in your intro, the sexuality about it, the sex aspect of polyamory. It's about relationship, and that's really what I would like to see more conversation about. But I don't see the counting of, you know, how many dates I've had and how many dates she's had. No, I personally don't see that.
Well, you know, Lenny, I you're absolutely right. This comes from the younger generation, because we're taught to count everything. We're taught everything's got to be fair, right? I mean, I get this all the time on a lot of the sites that I go on to, that people ask me questions, and it's always about being fair. It's always, well, he's doing this and he's doing that, and you know, maybe we need to. And this is why I wanted to have, you know, two very experienced people with wisdom in this community to explain this, because it's not about this. And you're right. I titled this, and I know a lot of people were thrown off by that, and I got some flack for the title, but the title was meant to be catchy, because that is what people think that polyamory is. They think that it's about sex, it's about swinging and doing all these things, but no, people, this is about relationships, and we have the same relationship issues as monogamous.
Absolutely. And could I comment on something that Sugandha said earlier, and your comment to her. She talked about the in a lot of cases, couples coming into polyamory with the stated goal of meeting the third, and how negative this is taken within the polyamory so many times. I think you have to, what we have to add to that statement is they're looking for the third to the exclusion of all other possibilities. And that's what's offensive to some people, or a turnoff to some people. Am I reading it right, Sugi? Is that your take on it as well?
Well, especially what we get a lot in our group is people coming, a couple will come and want to meet another woman, like an add-on.
Right, exactly.
And just recently I heard the expression, the OPP, that's the one penis policy. Am I allowed to say that?
No, absolutely. We are a G-rated show, but I did warn everybody through everything that tonight will probably be rated PG-17. So.
So again, here we are in possibly the man controlling his partner, going, okay, we're going to add another woman here, but we're not adding any other men here, you know. And so they come in looking for this very specific kind of situation. And most of us who have been in the poly lifestyle kind of laugh about that and say, hey, how about just opening up and relating to the people that you meet here and enjoying your evening and see what comes out of that, rather than coming with a concept of what your relationship is going to look like in the future.
Well, that's what we just talked about, how it was predefined, how we have these ideas. And, you know, I mean, there is the triad. I at one point when I was looking for relationships, I was hoping to find that triad, but I was keeping myself open. When everybody asked me, well, Miss Raina, well, what do you want in a triad? I said, well, you know, it doesn't matter if it's two girls, two guys, a guy and a girl. It doesn't matter if they're transgendered, if they're, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. I am open to that. But you're absolutely right, and thank you for bringing this up, Lenny, because Saganda did ask this off air about couples looking for the third party and it not being accepted. It's amazing how even in the own community, how we still have these predefined ideas of what dating and relationships should be.
I find that what exists in the monogamous community also exists in the poly community. So you don't get away from that stuff. And if you're dealing with that stuff in a monogamous relationship and you try to open it up, you're probably going to deal with it again.
Well, fighting's fighting, right? I mean, if I'm mad at my partner, whether there's five or one, you know, whether it's girl or guy, it's an issue. And that was going to bring my next thing. Don't like a lot of us, like a lot of people, we sit on the issues, right? And I think that a communication is definitely one of the most valuable things, especially if there's more than one party to, if there's more than or two party to the system, is that we have to be able to sit down, because when issues fester, they explode later.
Yes, they do. And I think that being able to express one's feelings and one's needs are very important. And I know at one time I had the vocabulary for about four feelings. You know, it was like sad, angry, happy, and I don't know what else. But I did a course in nonviolent communication, and if anybody wants to, they can go online and look up under nonviolent communication lists of needs and feelings, and they have these amazing lists, you know, that go on and on, where sometimes I, you know, have to pull up the list because I don't know what I'm feeling, you know. So in order to express that, or I don't know what the need is. And what they say is you have a feeling because a need is not being met.
Almighty need, huh, Saganda?
Right. But we all have needs, you know, starting from the most basic needs, and then they get more complex and in relationships, and especially poly relationships, you know, the needs are complex, and so it's wonderful to have a list, and you go through the list, and you go, no, that's not it. Oh, yes.
So Lenny, let's say I came to you, and you know, I'm with somebody, and my relationship's broken, and we're having issues, and we say, you know, I'm going to try polyamory because that's going to fix my relationship. Well, what are you going to say?
Oh my gosh! Please come back in your hole. That would be my very blunt approach.
What was that you broke up?
Oh, I'm sorry. I would politely say, please come back when you're whole.
Okay, please come back when you're whole.
Yeah. Polyamory is not going to fix an otherwise broken relationship. No, that's not how it works. It might enhance an already wonderful relationship. It might improve it. It might expand it, but it's not going to fix a broken one. If I think I understand your question.
Oh, absolutely. And you answered that perfectly because I don't know your guys' experiences that well with the questions that you guys get asked and brought into the meetings that we go to. But, you know, that's often sometimes I get asked that too. Well, you know, and even when I used to be into like the swinging and everything else before I got out of that, you know, people would be like, well, you know, and even people that were monogamous said, well, you know, I'm going to try this because, you know, and maybe a little spice will bring things up. And that's the first thing I say is absolutely not. If you're going to bring in somebody else with an already damaged ship, the ship is going to go down.
Yeah. If you want to add spice to a relationship, do it with, you know, sexy outfits, do it with some kind of videos or toys or music or something. Between the people that are already in the relationship. Don't think that you're going to spice it up and fix it by adding people to it, because no, that just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
It's also objectifying the person that you're bringing into the relationship. You're just using that person to spice up your relationship with your partner. And I'd like to think that in polyamory, there's more to relating than that, you know, that we care for each other. We're a community together. We help each other in situations. And there's just so much more to this relating, or there can be. You know, there's all levels, and people come in at all levels. But I like to think that we're really there for each other.
Saganda, I love what you just said. And you know, honestly, I never thought about that either. But you know, yeah, absolutely, objectifying the person that they brought in, because we're using that, and isn't most of the time we are using things and ideas to benefit us in some way, shape, or form.
In many
of our areas, whether like I was, you know, like when I whether it's charity work, sometimes a lot of times we do it for our own needs. When we're doing this, even if we're going to bring in like and try to find the triad, if we're doing it to fix something, you know, we are using that person or that idea sometimes for our own needs.
Yeah, and sometimes it's okay to do that. It's innocent. You know, it's like three fellows on the golf course and they need a fourth. I mean, they're using the guy to their advantage, but I don't think it's a terribly negative example. But a lot of times that's, you know, it's okay to do that, but not when it's going to try to fix something or really use that person without any regard to their benefit.
That's what I was looking for. That's why I worded that question the way I did towards you, Leonard, because I knew, because absolutely, if they're okay with saying, hey, I don't mind being used for a little bit to do this because I want you, that absolutely. But if you're using somebody else and they're looking for a serious relationship and being part of a quad or a triad or whatever, you know, then I think we step into a boundary that we shouldn't.
Absolutely.
I think that's where communication comes in, and that's one of the big, big things in polyamory. We say communicate, you know, and so being honest about what you want in any relationship, you know, so you meet someone and having the talk maybe before you get into things, get in too deep, you actually talk about, well, this is where I'm at right now, and this is what I would like, you know, and each person can express it and see if it's compatible.
Well, communication is great for everything, and that's why I know the monogamous listeners out there can appreciate this type of talk, because in any form of communication, or in any form of relationship, always has to be communication. Communication, helps us grow in so many ways to understand the other. Because honestly, like even when we talk to each other, a lot of times maybe we don't understand what they're feeling in some sort. So the line of communication will help kind of get that knowledge out there to help maybe so we can find a solution.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, well, guys, we're going to take another break and we'll be right back in another minute.
A message from the life of Raina. We live in a world faced with many tough challenges. Our lives become chaotic and fill with disaster ever so quickly, most of the time before we even realize. Our issues beat down our mental mindset, and an imbalance of emotions become prevalent. The Life of Raina is dedicated to helping people on the deepest spiritual level. Miss Raina, the creator of Transcendental Development and Growth, works on your core issues and finds the solutions which allow you to break free from the emotional bondages of life, helping you achieve the life you've always wanted to live. Isn't it time that you lived life for you? Call the Life of Raina, 561-846-2190, and schedule your appointment today. That's 561-846-2190. Or email thelifeofraina@icloud.com.
So, Lenny, the first question that I'm going to direct towards you, and I'm going to have Suganda answer this too. Oftentimes we see a couple come in, and one of the partners wants to be poly and the other one's monogamous. Can this style of relationship actually coexist?
You have to repeat that very last part. Can it do what now?
Can the relationship between a poly person and a monogamous person exist?
Oh, well, that's what I'm trying to do. Can it resist? Can it exist? With great difficulty, yes, but I think it can. I think the way you pose the question is it's difficult even when both people are admittedly poly. One comes into the relationship with a slightly different agenda or an entirely different agenda. That's very problematic, even though the stated goal is still within poly. Like for example, he wants to bring in a third female only. She wants to bring in, you know, an undefined. She's open to anything, and he's focused just in one direction. That can be a problem.
Absolutely. So what are the challenges that the monogamous person is going to face with someone that's poly? Because obviously, yes, you're right that there's difficulties on both sides. But, you know, how, like, because people who are monogamous are going to be like, well, she wants to date or he wants to date other people and I don't.
Yeah, well, that's Again, that's an incredibly large challenge in my case. I just hope to expand your own acceptance of other realities. I mean, we grow up thinking that the world we live in is all the world that exists, and sometimes, and you have to keep your mind open to other things in the world, other ways of seeing things, other realities.
Well, another point of view and expanding your perspective is definitely key to that idea. And my experience, I've dated people that were monogamous, and I had a very tough time with that. And eventually I moved on and we ended the relationship. But you know, I always try to keep things open. And that's one of the first things that I try to, when I date, is I try to announce right away, is, and I'm proud to be poly. I sit there and I say, well, the first thing you need to know about me is I'm into polyamory, and if they're not clear on it, I explain to them so that they have the fair chance of trying to understand and seeing if they are able to deal with that. So, Suganda, what do you feel about that question that I just asked?
Well, I've talked to people who are a poly-mono couple, and there have been people where the monogamous partner just says, I want to be monogamous. That has nothing to do with my partner. My partner wants to be poly. There's no problem. I have actually heard this. Now, I don't know what happens behind closed doors, and I know sometimes people will present that way, but there are issues. There are issues that come up for a lot of couples. And I think if a person can do that, you know, if they can kind of own their own monogamous nature and accept their partner as poly, I think it's workable.
Absolutely, because it isn't any form. Again, it boils down to it's a relationship, and you can be with that one person, love that one person, cherish that one person just as if you were in the monogamous as you would with the other person too. So I think that's a good idea. So in the last few minutes, I want to talk about let's because we're talking about the positive stuff. Is there any Lenny? Is there any downside to polyamory?
Well, sure. There's downside. There's downside to any relationship, and by downside, I mean it's a challenge. It takes work to make any relationship successful. It takes constant work. You know, they're smooth sailing for a while, and then you have to start rowing the boat. You have to start expending energy, and it takes work, and that for some could be looked at as a negative. It's you have to keep reaching deeper and deeper within yourself to make sure that you're not being unreasonable, that you're not being selfish, that you're not being too demanding, that you're not being blind to the obvious. Constantly thinking of your partner and all of those things. I don't think I'd rather use the word challenge as negative, but it is negative to some people. It is hard work.
Well, especially when we start a new relationship with another, you know, you get that new relationship energy. And you know, when you're focused on working with one relationship, sometimes that can, you know, throw a little kink in the slinky, if you want to use that term. And again, it presents a challenge. So I think which is why I wanted to ask if there is that, because in my views, I don't look at things as there's a downside to anything. To me, everything's an experience of growth. And when you're challenged with something, you go towards that challenge. You expand your knowledge, you expand your consciousness, you expand the awareness, and you allow yourself to evolve and grow. And so, you know, but a lot of people do take challenges as a downside. So Gonda, like, what is something that, like, when you first started out in this, what was one of the biggest challenges for you?
my own insecurities. That was definitely the biggest challenge. Because, like I say, my partner would be out on a date, and my mind would go crazy with it. So, and it was like, it just goes out of control, you know, and I'm going, wait a minute, I can think rationally about this, but no, I couldn't, you know, it just was like craziness. So I just had to deal with it in crazy ways, you know, just yelling, screaming. I'd be home alone because he's out there, you know, and it's like, okay, I go crazy, so what, you know. And I think we, in a sense, it's beautiful to deal with it when you are alone, you know, and also then when the partner comes home, maybe you can talk about it. Maybe you can express what feelings came up for you and what insecurities were there. And my partner was wonderful because he always assured me that, you know, he was coming home and that it was okay, and that it takes so much more to make the kind of relationship that we have. It's not that he goes out and spends the night with someone and he's leaving because it was the sex was great or something like that. You know, I had to realize that we had so much going on in our own relationship, and that I just read on a online polyamory group, a woman had an epiphany that people are not interchangeable. We're all different. We all have different qualities. And now I can so appreciate, you know, him being with other people and bringing home new experiences. And I love going out and spending time with people and experiencing their different qualities, and it brings something totally different into my life than my partner does, and that's okay.
Absolutely. I am a big fan of going crazy. I tell my clients and everybody, I was like, look, when you're in your home and an emotion comes up and you, when you feel something, go towards it, express it. I used to be very aggressive, my temper was very short. When my energy was just uncontrollable, I would get very aggressive in that way. So I went out and I bought a Bob. Bob is one of those punching bags, those MMA fighting things. And I still use it to this day, because when I have a thought, when I have an emotion, when I have something, I allow myself to go to it. And I like how you said I go towards it. And then I learned to appreciate. I learned that going out and spending time, cherish the moment and creating new experiences for us. Because, you know, when we're going crazy, everybody, we're making assumptions about our relationship or our partners or what they're doing. And to be honest with us, we don't know what they're doing. And why should we? If we trust the person that we worth, then we need to trust them, and we need to be able to work through our actions, and that takes responsibility of ourselves, right, Lenny?
Oh, absolutely. Trusting in someone can be, a challenging thing, a very, very nerve-wracking thing. But you know, don't expect the other to do what you're not willing to do yourself. So you've got to trust that person. when they're out. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, absolutely. I think that, you know, when we make the assumption, it's really placing blame. It's really taking our responsibility off of ourselves and just saying, hey, you know, I don't want to deal with this, and I want to, you know, dive into the jealousy. I want to dive into the fear. I want to be controlled by those very issues. And people, and any relationship, even our own life, whether it's work or whatever, school, whatever we're doing, when you're controlled by your emotions of fear or anger or anything like that, the result is always going to be chaotic. And so I think that's a good lesson for everybody to understand, whether it's a relationship or not, is to take responsibility for your actions. So guys, we have a couple minutes. I want to wrap things up. Sugandha, let's end with you, and then we'll go to Lenny. Do you have like one last message that you want to give out to people?
Oh, boy. I'd say the biggie is that you have to feel that you are okay with you. It doesn't matter, monogamy, polyamory, whatever, that you have to become okay with yourself. And that journey is different for everyone. And it's a beautiful journey. And I really encourage people to take that journey. And it's an ongoing thing throughout our life. And polyamory is just one possibility of exploring yourself and finding out all that's inside of you, all the emotions, all the needs, the good parts of yourself, the challenging parts of yourself. Everything will come up with polyamory. But there's other ways of doing it. That's not the only way. So we each have to discover what that journey is.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. So, Lenny, what do you have to say for your last message?
Well, to me, the first and foremost thing that people need to do is communicate. As Sugi put it earlier, communicate, communicate, communicate. When you don't, there's no possibility of, you know, we're not mind readers. Communication means talking. Face-to-face, calm, talking. And lots of it. You know? Hold hands and talk. That's what works.
Hold hands and talk. I like that. I like that a lot. You know, as a psychic medium, my friends are always expecting me, and even my past relationships, they're always like, well, you can read minds. Why don't you do it? I'm like, no, I don't read everybody's thoughts at once, and communication really is. I, you know, guys, thank you so much for coming on. Lenny or Sugana, do you guys have, if somebody that are listening to this show, even if they're not in the South Florida area, and they want to write to you guys if they have a question or something, do you guys have any emails or any way of contact?
Well, you can always write to either of us on the South Florida Polyamory Meetup site, or if you want to write directly to me, it's lms957@aol. I'd be happy to hear from anyone who's interested.
All right. Sugana, do you have any information for them?
Sure. My email is Masuganda, which is MASUGANDHA@yahoo.com.
Okay, all right. Well, guys, we will have that information again on the social media. Lenora will post it up as soon as we get a chance. And, guys, I want to thank you so much. I love you guys. I respect you guys so much. And ever since, you know, I found this little community down here in South Florida, I've been nothing but very happy and very proud of this little community that you guys have built. So thank you both for being on the show tonight.
And thank you for
inviting us.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you. Have a good night. All right, guys, that's our show for tonight. If you'd like to follow us, you can follow us on our Facebook at facebook.com/Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. That's all one word. You can follow me on my Facebook at facebook.com/The Life of Raina. And you can follow us on our website, which is soulandspiritguide.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, receive special little events, the hidden shows, VIP access to the website and the radio show, as well as access to special guest offers. Or you can email me as well at thelifeofreina@icloud.com. Remember to always believe in yourself. It's not our abilities or our talents that make us who we are, but it is our choices. Thank you and have a wonderful night.